Live again. Here we are, folks. Welcome back in to the Chat Pack Podcast. I'm putting on my professional podcaster voice because apparently my last intro was too fun for one of these co-hosts on this show. I'm going to give you my classic here. As you can see there, my shirt. This is the Chat Pack Podcast where we talk about this, that, and the other thing. I am one of your hosts, Paul Holden, joined by my co-hosts and the best in the business, the man who makes the whole show happen, the man who licks the salt from lakes just in general, Trevor Heim.
I don't think I've ever licked any lakes from salt. I have tried the salt, though, that's out at the salt flats. I've known people to take glasses and they rub the glass in the salt flats and then they make a margarita with it.
Ah, when you're camping. Wait, so is it really like, is it just like sodium chloride? Just like straight? It's not like some other type of salt, you know, like how that's like a chemical, like a group of chemicals or like salts. It's like a metal and something else.
Yeah, I mean, on the way out to like the Bonneville Salt Flats, if you're familiar with those, like on the way out there from Salt Lake, you pass the Morton Salt Factory with like the umbrella grill on the side of it. So like, I assume that's it's so like cool. Table salt. I don't know.
That's awesome. I've never been to the Salt Flats, but I've always thought it'd be really cool. But I bet I'd get there and I'd be like so excited to get there. And then I get there, I'm like, yeah, it's real flat.
just a long stretch of flat white rock, basically.
Yeah, and it's like your ass, Paul. It's just sure. Flat as shit, right. And white as shit.
Oh, okay. I guess. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Now I see that other voice you're hearing, donning the Colorado Rockies jersey, somehow got suckered into that fandom. Caleb Cole.
I'm lamenting this week, and I'm wearing a purple, a Rockies jersey to just show the sadness I have for Raimel Tapia being traded. I understand that. It was probably good to do something else with him, but I'm very sad about it. And that's where I want to, that's what I want to say.
Trevor pulled up a soccer jersey. I'm assuming is Real Salt Lake.
Yeah. I was saying I should have wore that for the podcast. They play tomorrow. And I think FC Cincinnati plays tomorrow.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've been getting into FC Cincinnati, right?
Yeah. It's kind of, I guess Real is in the West Conference and Cincinnati's in the East Conference. So I don't feel like I'm like, I don't know, just bandwagoning. No,
that's
with
fair.
Whoever,
that's fair where your fandoms lie. I appreciate that you got the two different leagues, plus you got the hometown team and then the current residence team. So I appreciate. In terms of my rules of fandom, which are important and really everyone should hold themselves to the same standards by.
Oh, of course.
I'm glad that you got the hometown and the current representative. Caleb's just a journeyman when it comes to sports fandom. He can't figure it out. He doesn't want to root for any team where he's from. He wants to root for other teams. He's got the Vikings and he's got the Rockies.
Purple teams.
And the Pistons, I believe. But the Pistons,
No, I don't give a shit about basketball. No,
but I mean, you watched them at least. And then the Red Wings was the high. Those were the teams you told me about versus, it made more sense because where you were closer to Michigan, so that's where that part makes sense. Where it's not in a you're
There's
that's
no
a weird
purple hockey teams though.
It's a a weird exception to the rule because you're closer, more likely to be able to catch a game in Detroit where you lived in Ohio versus going to a Cleveland or a Cincinnati for a professional sports game or a Columbus.
Oh yeah, I thought you meant.
So
for
that's why
still.
It makes sense for your fandoms to be in the more Michigan range. Oh, yeah. But usually,
yeah, tell me more about how my fandoms make sense, Paul.
Well, I just find it fascinating.
Go ahead.
The Vikings one doesn't make any sense.
The Vikings, it's because they're literally the reason why I like the Vikings is because my dad liked the Vikings. And I asked him when I was younger, I was like, why are we Vikings fans? Like, why not the Detroit Lions? Because he likes everything else Detroit, Tigers and Red Wings and
Arizona.
And he literally just said that when he was a little kid, he grew up with like six other brothers. And they all were very competitive and they all decided to were into football and played it when they were in high school and just decided to all pick different teams. So like one of them likes the Cowboys. One of them is into the Buccaneers. Like, and they're all for a while. They were really into it, which is hilarious because they're all like the same family and all just have different football teams all rooting against each other.
That's really funny because I feel like I never thought about like why you were a Vikings fan. I just remember in high school you had a big Vikings sticker on your truck or whatever.
Dude, Oh yeah, we had I had the Vikings.
Interesting. I don't see Caleb in high school as a big sticker guy. Didn't especially let alone a football sticker. That's a surprise to me.
Wow. What Paul's coming out here making a lot of assumptions.
You literally didn't care when I met you. You didn't give two hoots about football or sports
that about
or
football
like that.
Or was
let
that
alone
about stickers?
You're not the you type of person that wants a giant sticker slapped on the car. I couldn't imagine you were doing that.
You made it sound like I was not into stickers, not into football.
Paul, I was
shocked to hear that you were a big sticker on the car guy, because I put a bunch of stickers on my car.
The sticker was about the size of my fist, to be fair.
Oh, okay. Trevor, when I hear big sticker on the car, I'm thinking a good chunk of the windshield.
Also, my brother had the car before me, and he's the one who put the sticker on.
Okay, here we go. That means full circle. First, yeah. See, I got into, but I thought stickers were cool on cars because my brother put stickers on their car. But then my car, since my brothers were gone by the time I was driving, I got to put only my stickers on the car. So I thought I was super cool with all my stickers and all my. It's just baseball and video games, and some things never change. And that's what we do here at the Chat Pack Podcast. We dive into all sorts of random topics like Caleb's stickers and the rules of sports fandom. It's exactly what you would get on this podcast. It's definitely usually not about movies
aggressive
and video
rules
games. But we do talk about video games. We're going to talk about video games today, actually. The topic of today's show is obscure video games, and I think the idea what we're going with here is just talking about and highlighting some games that maybe are near and dear to our hearts that didn't seem to be as big and popular in the mainstream. But honestly, when someone talks about at least the game on this list, and it relates to Caleb as well, when someone else knows of this obscure game, I feel like that's when you kind of get really excited. When people know that you played this like wacky game that people were way into as well, it's super fun. Like so Trevor, I think you pitched this one, so I'm gonna give you the ball first. Bounce pass down to the post. You're down there ready to take a shot. I want you to lead things off.
All right, fair enough. So I've got two. I think the first one's the most obscure. The second one, I don't know if it would count as obscure, but I feel like it's a little bit more obscure than some of the games a lot of people are familiar with. But the one that made me think of this topic is the game The Neverhood. I don't know. Have you guys ever heard of The Neverhood or played it?
Nope.
Oh, man. Well,
definitely obscure then.
I'll have to send you guys like some videos or something afterward. Basically, The Neverhood, it came out in the 90s, I think. I think it was early 90s because I remember playing it. It was a game that my dad brought home from work, and we like fired it up on the home family computer, you know, like the shared family computer that was in the living room. But The Neverhood is a game that all of the animation in the game was created with claymation. So it's these like, and I think the main character is called Clayman, if I remember correctly. So it's like these claymation guys. And then it's kind of like a point and click adventure puzzle type of game. So you're like trying to solve. Like it might be scrolling, like side scrolling, and you're trying to solve things, or you might just be like stuck in like a room and you're trying to figure out how to get out of it. But then there's all these goofy cutscenes where like at one point, you eat apples, like you're standing in like a garden and there's like a tree with apples, and you can click on the tree and you take a bite out of an apple, and then you're just standing there again. And so you're like, there's nothing else to do. I don't know what's going on. You click and you bite another apple. And you keep doing that until all of a sudden he'll let loose a giant burp. And you're like, okay, so that was different. And so you like click a couple more apples and he lets loose like a huge burp. And then it calls this like big creature. There's like this rumbling. This giant creature shows up. He blows through the wall. So that's how you're able to escape the like garden thing, is he blows through the wall because he hears your character burping, essentially. So it's like a bunch of weird stuff like that. But for some reason, my dad got a hold of it. We all started playing it. And I remember my mom, my dad, and myself having like just sheets of notebook paper while we were trying to figure out different puzzles, and we're like working through. And we ended up beating the game. And I remember it was like, I don't know, it was like a Saturday or something. I was off school. We beat the game and we were just like, the credits scrolled and we were cheering because we were just like, oh my gosh, it was like so much work to get to the end of this thing.
That's so wholesome.
It was really cool. I've gone back and played it since too, and it's like, it's just a weird, fun game. I don't know.
Never Hunter, that's what it was called?
Neverhood. Like neighborhood, but Neverhood.
The Neverhood.
I was really interested. You said it was out of claymation. It makes a lot more sense that it's like point and click, because I was like, man, how the hell would they make like a claymation game? Of course, my mind went to 3D, like a 3D it, like walk behind.
Oh yeah, no, it's game, you know? You don't really control like your character or anything. It's more just like poking around in like the scene. I remember there was a puzzle where there was a door. You were outside of a house and there was a door to get into the house, and there was like a doorbell that you pulled. And when you pulled the doorbell, it played this tune, but it would like be wrong. And then there was all these like water pipes. And so then you had to like drink water, spit it into the pipes at different intervals, so that when you rang the doorbell, it played the correct tune to open the door. And so for that one, we were like, all right, so we're putting 4 in the first one, 2 in the second one, 2 in the third one, 3 in the, like, whatever. And then it would, like, be wrong. And it was like, okay, that's not it. That's not it.
I'm looking that's at awesome. Some pictures from the game. It looks really cool. Such a
yeah, I was going to say, I did the same style. Thing. It's very interesting. I like the
Willie Trombone, Clayman, and Clog are the names of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Willie Trombone is amazing.
Dude, those PC games where it was all just like you click in the scene. I so many of those I can remember, and I don't know necessarily if all these are obscure, but like Pajama Sam, you know, Putt Putt, and all those humongous entertainment games that weren't the sports games. And that also, and the Zumbinis, that was going to be one of mine. Zumbinis, where you had to just, you had these little creatures, these little, and you try, they were going from their home and you had to just solve puzzles along the way. And all you did was just click. It wasn't like an adventure like that where you were kind of like in the scene. There's a lot of those games actually had a big resurgence on like the early days of the Switch. People were really, really liked putting those point and click games on the Switch, and people really liked playing with those because you could tap on the screen and go to all those places and things like that. So I that's claymation in the 90s, man, that you definitely find a few of those games, and that there's so many gems of games in like 90s and early 2000s computer games.
True.
And one of my lists, nothing better than Roller Coaster Tycoon. I think Roller Coaster Tycoon is honestly like the 1 and 2.
Is that obscure? That's a big game, dude. They put,
I guess it's bigger than, but I don't know how mainstream, I guess, necessarily it was, or how much people really played it, but like,
yeah,
the
it's more not Horizon Zero Dawn, but like, you know, like I said, I mean,
I guess they had a whole document. There's a thing, but like that when I think 90s PC, it's like when I look at that game, like I just can't think of help but think of like a Roller Coaster Tycoon and early RTSs, and then
remember
like
Zoo Tycoon. Where you could dinosaurs out and they just start eating all the people.
It's crazy how much easier it is to go and play, especially through like Steam, and like buy the old Roller Coaster Tycoons, because Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 and on, not as interesting, because they do, I hate when a game has a really cool art style and then they do a weird 3D art style that just never
like Age of Empires 4.
Like, yeah, it's like that. It's where it's just like, like I like Age of Empire more than Roller Coaster Tycoon, but it's just something about it. It's just like, I don't like, especially the way the carts and the people and the coasters and everything. When you played an old school Roller Coaster Tycoon, the art style of all of the rides and everything was just really cool. And like when you looked at your park, it kind of looked like a cool poster of a theme park with all these cool colors and bright. And it's not to say that the other game isn't colorful, but there was just the weird 3D model wackiness to it. Whereas, I don't know, there was just something about the art style of the early Roller Coaster Tycoon that made me think the style, and I loved the look of my parks more, especially after how much time you put into them.
Did you ever play, just kind of in that vein, did either of you guys play Theme Hospital?
No.
No.
Oh man, if you liked Roller Coaster Tycoon, so it's like, it's a kind of a similar thing, like you create a hospital and you have surgeons and everything, but it's a intentionally very goofy and silly game. Like it's still like that top down view, but like it's so funny, like when they like you'll see patients walking around and you just see like the back of their gowns open and you can just see their little butt crack. You know, or like you know, like patients will die, and when they die, like their ghost floats up, you know, and it's very silly looking, and it's fun. It's definitely like if you enjoyed Roller Coaster Tycoons, Tycoon and games in that vein, Theme Hospital is so fun.
Did either of
another
you guys
game?
Go. Did either of you guys ever play the game Thrillville? It was like kind of
I've heard of it. I've heard of it. It was the one that was supposed to be the console like they were like, we're bringing Roller Coaster Tycoon to consoles. I remember that was the big pitch for that game, and I was intrigued by it. I think I maybe gave it a rent from when Game Crazy and Game in Hollywood Video still existed. R.I.P. Game Crazy and Hollywood Video.
Wow, so it's very 3D.
I had Thrillville on, I think, PS2, and I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, it was like you could build out your theme park kind of like Roller Coaster Tycoon, but then you could actually play as like a person and go run around. Yes.
And you rode the rides, I think, too, right?
Yeah, you could like participate in all the stuff. So that game, I remember, I think the only reason I put like a bunch of hours into that game, because it was really not that great of a game, was there was this one mini game that you could go play, like if you put it inside your theme park. And it was like a laser tag shooting thing, but it was like a first person shooter essentially. And you fought like wave after wave of these like robots that would come after you. And at the time that I had that game, my friend and I, it was T for teen, and my friend and I both weren't allowed to get like M rated games yet. And so we didn't have like Call of Duty or like Halo or any of those. And we just wanted to play like shooters. So we just played that mini game like 24/7. We put hours into that mini game trying to survive for as long as we could in the waves. We got really good at it too. But other than that, that's I didn't hilarious. Play any Thrillville.
That's hilarious. Yeah, there's a couple of other, I think, like spin-off ones that it's just like, the only spin-off of those like mainstay games like that I really enjoy was it's in a different genre. Like City Skylines is a good version of Sim City, like a good different version of Sim City. Whereas like the other Roller Coaster Tycoon simulator games that I've seen haven't. And honestly, and New Zoo Tycoon, and it's just like, again, it's just like they with the art style and then bringing it to console and making it a whole different thing is a whole issue too. But they just have to change the mechanics of some of those games for a more modern audience that I don't always like. And it's just crazy that you can go and buy Roller Coaster Tycoon and all those DLCs and stuff very easily on Steam, but you can't for Zoo Tycoon. At least I don't know if that's changed. For a while there, it was very hard to find Zoo Tycoon, I feel like, because if not, that's a game I would see on Steam, buy it if it was on sale, and I would jump right back in, because the Zoo Tycoon was great too. But yeah, Caleb, you're right, not necessarily obscure, but I got a couple of ones for you. You mentioned like Spirits Flying Up, that made me think of a really fun Super Nintendo game that I'm not sure how popular it was, called Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I don't know if that's one that's you guys are familiar with. Got a banging soundtrack. It's super long, it's super hard, but it's got an incredible art style too. And your two kids facing off not only zombies, but a bunch of other like classic horror things, vampires, werewolves, chainsaw wielding guys. And you have squirt guns and all this stuff that zombies
squirt
get.
Squirt guns? That's what you get armed with?
Yeah. The zombies, water, no dice. You shoot them and they blow up. And like every level, there's like hundreds of levels. So not only
is
like
an SNES puzzles, classic, huh?
Yeah. It's a great game. And the soundtrack, dude, I can hear it already in my head. And like the sound effects that they use when you get hit, and he's like, ouch, ouch. And like there's just so many like really specific sound effects that I can remember. But the game's so long and gets so hard that I've never beaten it. I watched on YouTube like the end. It just gets nuts. But it's just such a unique and fun game. And then because you run around all these different scenes and you just try to rescue your neighbors, basically. You just run into them and you save. Mm-hmm. But if they get hit by a zombie, it just like sticks with me. They turn into a little angel.
Baby?
Yeah, there's a giant baby boss. There's like all sorts of crazy stuff. And wow. But like if a zombie hits a person or like a boss hits one of the neighbors, it just makes this like this crazy sound effect that they die. And it's just like burned into my brain. It's like, oh no, the zombie's got the person. And but it's just one of those. It's just a classic example of a really cool Super Nintendo game that would still hold up today because it's just smash the button, move, and recognize the patterns and stuff. But it's so long. Like, there's just no way that you like, because I think it started as an arcade game. I think it was one of those things where it's, you know,
it
they
looks
want
like it could be an arcade game for sure.
Where you want to like feed the quarters in. But I think Midway made that because Midway made, I mean, they had bangers, man. So many good games on the Super Nintendo. That aren't obscure.
SNES was a great system. I mean, the Donkey Kong. Oh, you had the flags. Oh, dude, is that an omen? Rocky's flags just split, and then one of them fell.
Is right that behind the Grim Reaper?
Yeah, that's bad. Paul's gonna die in like 3 days.
That was I do have a window open and my fan going because the weather is beautiful.
No, 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 no. Don't try to hide it. That was a spirit. of some
talking some about maybe. Zombies. I'm talking about that, dude. And then that right. happens.
You know, I want to mention one of mine though.
Here? Just because does
no.
that count?
No, it does not count as obscure. It's old and it's not trafficked anymore. I mean, it's like what?
Well, no, I mean it was. I mean, it was a big deal. They made four of them, and they like yeah, were gonna bring go back to the first one.
But,
so, I mean,
but I'm saying like now, like it's not like people are like, oh yeah, I'm going home playing Dead Rising for a few hours,
right?
Besides you and me, maybe.
Yeah. Trevor won.
One of mine that is really should probably be one of Paul's too. Also, before I even say it, honorable mention, I mean, Super Smash Brothers Melee, but not even remotely close to obscure anymore. It used to be back in the day, like when you were playing it. Yeah, you're wrong. Yep. It was super obscure.
The game launched with the GameCube. It was a launch title. It was literally one of the biggest reasons and biggest like console movers. Like people bought the GameCube.
Sorry, excuse me. At the competitive scene was obscure.
Okay, but yeah, that's fine. The competitive Melee, I will give you that.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
You could say any game that's not Halo, Overwatch, Fortnite, any game that's like not the main ones is obscure.
Yeah, like competitive Pac-Man 256.
Yeah, there you go. Tetris.
All six of you, whoever all those people that live in that house.
That game's great. But the one I was going to say is iDarb. Paul and I got super into iDarb. Yeah. That game is so for anybody, I know everybody here knows what it is because Trevor lived with us when Paul and I really got into it. We had a board. It's hashtag iDarb, and I guess it stands for it draws a red box. And I think it came from like, I want to say it was like Twitter or like Facebook. Like they like launched this game and they basically were like, we're going to make a game based off of fan input or like crowd input. And so they just they took advice from, and somebody said platformer. And so they were like, okay, we'll make a platform. Somebody said, I love FIFA. And so they're like, all right, we'll make some soccer components. And I always describe it like, imagine combining like Super Smash Brothers and FIFA. Like, because it's like almost like a platform fighter in a way, because you can like charge up a boost, but you can use that boost to like push and hit the other player. But ultimately, the goal of the game is incredibly simple and easy to pick up. It's just there's a ball, you can pick up the ball, you shoot the ball into the goal. That's the entire game. Like, but then the movement of it is very deep and there's a bunch of shit that can happen. And it's a bummer because I wish it wasn't obscure because it could be a really, really fun competitive game. But I think that people just it's really, really simple. You know, that's like, I mean, you have one arena. I mean, there's multiple maps. But
yeah, didn't we find that out there were multiple like randomly or something?
Yeah, I think playing online, there's like a way to play other maps. But I think you had to like buy them or unlock them in some way, like in. Or maybe we just didn't like them. I don't know. It's
I feel like it's like probably much years. More likely that we didn't like them than that they weren't there.
Yeah, like I think that they were like I remember there were maps that were way, way bigger too. It kind of reminds me of
more
too,
players. I think yeah, the player count impacted that as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes. We found out because we did 2v2. That's what it is. Because it got a bigger map. It kind of reminds me, I didn't play this game until later. But it kind of reminds me of Killer Queen in the setup of like the box that you get to be in. Killer Queen, I know that's not obscure, but great game. Really great game. Wish that I could get more people to play Killer Queen Black, but every time I try to play that online, it's just like half the people in the game are bots, and that doesn't it doesn't tickle my fancy whatsoever playing bots in a competitive game.
PK Kirby in the chat says Zombies is a classic. So someone out there played some Zombies Ate My Neighbors. That's what what I love to hear.
The game looks fun. It
looks a like cool it could be game. Released. They just had a like cool idea. They stuck with it. And they made it far too long. But it's definitely super cool. And Caleb, this one there's even a funnier story, but we won't talk about that one. But there's a series that was near and dear to my heart, and it was the Army Men series, and it was the
Sergeant War, baby.
So I'm not sure if it was just on N64, but I think it was on PlayStation as well. But this was such a cool idea for a video game. It was plastic toy soldiers come to life fighting in your bedroom, in the bathroom, in the yard.
And you're talking about the Army Man helicopter one, right?
Yeah. So it starts with Army Men Sarge's Heroes on, I think, the N64, and I believe the PlayStation 1 had them as well. And they were third-person shooters that were incredibly difficult to control on the N64. Only way I beat those games, cheats. I had my Game Shark, and I just gave myself infinite health and infinite ammo and all the weapons, because it's just like you stand and you're just like, and your guy just like moves like this, like on an axis, you know, and then moves really slowly, and then someone's just shooting you from God knows where, because the N64 can't render that guy that far away, but they can render the bullet coming to hit you.
Dude, I like played Army Man Air Attack so much.
But so those games were fun, and I thought those were cool too. But the best one out of all of them was a computer one called Army Men RTS. They made a real-time strategy game out of the Army Men game, and the graphics were sick. They brought in all the heroes. They had these cool cutscenes, and that's the best Army Men game, because you get all these levels. You basically, the campaign is that there's a former green soldier who gets turned into the tan, and now he's turning other green people into the tan army. And you fight from the front yard up to the attic of the house, and you like go through the yard, and then you have to go in the basement, so, and there's spiders and ants in the basement that come.
And they're huge. Like,
yeah, and they're huge. And what's cool is they have certain missions too, where you're not just doing RTS, build the base, go eliminate their base type of stuff. You have just your squad of heroes, and you got to do kind of like, oh, go and gather this stuff and get through, and you know, don't have your heroes die, and you just have this set number of units. And it's such a fun, it's a great RTS. It's not StarCraft competitive RTS, you know, where you're going to have that huge scene, but it's like, that's a game, again, I would look on Steam, I would buy that in a heartbeat, and I'd have a blast just playing the computer, just because it's fun that it's, but you get the helicopters, and they got the red propellers, and they got the choppers above, and you know, they all have voice actors, and they
do, like, you remember all the do you remember when you pick your type of helicopter, he goes,
Nook.
Yeah, Huey.
Oh yeah,
Huey.
And then like the pilots too, and because that was the other fun one too, was the just helicopter pilots, right? Army Men Air Assault, where you're just the helicopters
air attack.
Going through. Yeah, Air Attack, I think.
Yeah, that's the one I played by far the most. Mm-hmm. Huey! That's,
and then, of course, they went with the dark and gritty kind of eliminated stuff, the Sarge's War, where it was just kind of like,
Sarge's War,
a mid-2000s game where they're like, let's take Army Men and make them edgy. Well, it was cool. Like, I still had fun.
Sarge is smoking a big fat stogie.
Yeah. And it's like all his friends get blown up in a huge explosion.
At the beginning.
And the whole point is like you can watch your character like disintegrate, like as he's getting, like, you know, so if you're low on health, you got like a hole in your chest, half your head's missing, like your arm's got a chunk blown out of it. And it's honestly really cool, but then you're just like, yeah, you know, not where I would have gone. I would have done that kind of like the characters falling apart, but I still would have made it kind of like the funniness of being in a bedroom, or like, you know, all this serious war stuff. And it's always just so funny because you're in this heated battle and a giant rubber duck is like floating in the pool or something at the bathtub that you're fighting on, this just massive firefight. So that's another series that's just near and dear to my heart that I don't know a lot of people played, but that was a game that really made me love video games, because that was the coolest way. I loved Plastic Army Men, and I'd set up the big battles, but then for them to actually be to come to life and I could run around, I thought that was the coolest.
Dude, I feel like that's a game that they should bring back with like an online battle royale mode. Can you imagine like you're parachuting into a backyard of like a house, dude, or whatever, with like 100 players, you know, like Fortnite style?
And a dog comes and it's like a Yorkshire Terrier.
Like a big thing, like a dog can come and just like wipe you out somehow. You know,
it's like a boss fight.
Nintendogs.
It's such a fun sandbox to have that world of, you know, people love shooters. So it would be nice for them to revisit like that idea, because I don't think it has to be the same company, because at the end of the day, I don't know if they have like a trademark. It doesn't have to be another Army Men game specifically, even though I loved the characters. They, in that RTS, they made all of the heroes that you rescue in the N64 games, like they gave them voice actors and a lot of personality. They're like special units, like in RTS is where they all are heroes. So they have kind of like different abilities that you wouldn't be able to like get by just building your units. These are like the special units that are specific to that. And so it just gave a lot of personality. And honestly, the cutscenes and everything in that game were funny, because it did have that, it's a war movie, but they're in the family room, like try and like mm-hmm. I remember the hardest mission, one of the hardest ones was there was an escort mission where you had just these Lego people that were under attack from the Tan army and their Lego village got blown up. Your job was to protect them as they ran out of the village, like up into the other part of the family room.
The Tan
and
army. It's
just like, that is fun. That is so cool. I just love that because they really bought into, let's do the army men in the real thing. And then like you get to the kitchen and there's a pie and there's a bunch of melted army men and a pie in the oven. And you're just like, yeah, that's so fucking cool, man.
So
silly game.
So, Caleb, when you said that, iDarb was a game that you wish was less obscure, or like had more mainstream, you reminded me of a game that I played a ton, back in the early Xbox 360 days that I feel like it was just ahead of its time. And no one really picked it up, and it was an awesome game. Did either of you guys ever play Chrome Hounds on 360?
No. Never even heard of that, no.
Oh, so Chrome Hounds, like, I wish that they would do a remake of it or something and bring it to PC or something like that, like, bring it back, because it was this game, it was a mech fighting game that was on, like, 360, like, when it first kind of launched. And I say it was way ahead of its time because it had, like, it was completely online, I think.
Mech Assault, right?
What's that?
Or was Chrome Hound, was it Mech Assault Chrome Hound, or was Chrome Hound different than Mech Assault?
No, it was different. Chrome Hounds was like its totally own thing.
Gotcha.
But basically what it was, you built a mech that you would go online and fight with, and you could put, like, you know, tank treads on it, wheels, whatever, and depending on, like, the stuff that you loaded out with, like, what weapons you had, it would file your mech into, like, a specific class. So, like, if you had, like, really fast wheels and, like, light guns, you'd be like a scout class and you could, like, move really fast. But then it had this online system, and this was, like, in the early days of Xbox Live, where there'd be, like, a season, and in the course of a season there was, like, three nations that would fight, and you would have, like, border disputes between the nations, and that would be, like, the online matches that you would play, and you would, like, progress your nation, like, through the other nation, depending on who you teamed up with for that season. But then in the actual matches, like, it was, because it was early days of Live, they didn't really have, like, the voice chat stuff yet, really. And so in the game, you had, like, if you had, like, a certain type of mech, you could go and establish these, like, I don't know what, like, tech link up things, like these big antennas, and then that would establish voice chat for your team, or like for your squad. And so, like, you had to go out, get to these things, set it up, and then you'd have voice chat. But if the enemy blew it up, you would lose voice chat on your team. But there was, like, long range, like, you could snipe way across. You had, like, melee mechs that had, like, pile drivers that would, like, fly in and, like, blast through, like, other mechs. But it was just, I feel like it was way ahead of its time, and, like, not enough people played it. Otherwise it could have been really awesome, but it was cool.
Sounds tight.
I wish they'd bring it back.
I don't know why that kind of sparked, but kind of a little bit of a tangent. But did you guys ever play, like, when you were kids, you went to Shockwave Games, the website?
No, I was addicting games and cool math games.
I was always on Newgrounds.com. I think Shockwave came just before that. It was like, I feel like Addicting Games came from Shockwave, or maybe they ran concurrently, but I don't think so. Fun.
Did way Shockwave back in the day have all those what were those games called where you were the guy and you fought, you were like that gray stick figure guy, you fought like wave after wave of
Stickman? Wasn't it just called Stickman?
No, it was called like Madness something, but they ended up making like 8 different ones. There was like,
do you remember do you remember Discount Mayonnaise?
Dude, that game was actually sweet.
It was so much fun. Paul, no? So it was a side scroller, and you play, I'm gonna spoil it for you, but you play through the whole game and you're like, why the fuck is this called Discount Mayonnaise? And you play this like little kind of maggot looking thing, like worm looking thing, and you but your face is like bandaged up, if I remember it correctly.
Well, yeah,
but you run through and it's really fun. It's like kind of like a side scroller shooter, and you get different weapons. Like, and there's like, you get to the end of the level, you can spend the money, like, and buy different weapons, and there's different bosses that unlock different stuff. Get all the way to the end of the game, and it's like it's a long game for just being like a little online game. And, you know, it saves if you like, I remember playing it in the like the media center in at Anthony Wayne High School. Like, and I'd always like you save it and like on, you had to go back to the specific computer.
Right.
And when you get to the end, basically you find out that there's just like it shows this little cutscene and it's a person in a store. And all of the game is happening inside of this gross bottle of discount mayonnaise.
That's on the funny. Shelf.
That's really good.
Yeah. So it's just all the bacteria or right. like the parasites that are growing in this discount mayonnaise. And it's a person, they just sniff it and they're like, ugh, and then they throw it away. And that's the end of the game.
That's hilarious. That's such a so good one, good. Man. That's so awesome. Funny. A couple of one game that I had that unfortunately I don't think you can play anymore that was obscure. It was a Batman spinoff game in the Batman universe called Gotham City Imposters. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with this game, but it was a first person shooter in the Batman universe between a gang of Batman loving dudes and a gang of Joker loving dudes. But you just had all these wacky gadgets and fake costumes, and it was a really fun, really great first person shooter all online. And I just looked up, it's all the, I think all the servers are shut down and stuff, and I just looked on Steam just like August of 2021. I missed being able to buy it because I was hoping at least to maybe play some bots. But that game was so fun. It was so random that they were doing this Batman shooter game, but it was awesome. You had roller skates if you wanted to run, you had grappling hooks, you had all this gear that was inspired by both Batman and the Joker on these fun maps. And man, that was just a super, super fun and underrated shooter game. But it's a bummer, man. Those online games, it just kind of sucks. It's like that you can't play unless you have the game and then a private server to fill with people. You can't play it anymore. And it's, you know, that's probably the case for a ton of games you would call obscure. How many of those don't get to have that new life, that second chance to go out and kind of live on, like we, you know, thank God Mario Baseball has this online community, you know, that brings a whole new level of life into the game versus now, you know, if I ever want to go back to Gotham City Imposters, I can watch on YouTube. Basically, that's it.
Yeah, I wish I could go back to the original Lost Planet. Did you ever play the online in Lost Planet?
No, I played the story and stuff in Lost Planet, but
the online was so sick. But it got
BioShock
to a point.
2, I would probably put that's another online version of a game that you went to, but like BioShock 2's online multiplayer.
Oh yeah,
so good.
Yeah, Lost anyway, Planet. Tell me about I remember Lost like Planet. In the very like end days of the online play, I was like, this online's so fun, but no one's playing it, and like. The only time I could play it was like super, super late at night because all these people would get on in like Japan or something and like play it. And so that was the only time I could find like a match.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a bummer. Just like, you know, and that's those just don't get to have the life. I mean, same with iDarb, same with all those stuff that we like when it doesn't have that support to keep the servers up. It's just such a bummer that there's so many games, but you know, maybe one day, you know, if that it's that people will be just have these, I'm sure that if the Mario Baseball scene has taught me one thing, it's if there's a group of passionate enough people, it'll spawn enough other things to pop up around. Like, who knows, there could be a secret Gotham City Imposters, you know, online community. Team that's going on out well, there.
It kind of begs the question, like, you know, Mario Baseball wouldn't be what it is today without the mod team. Like the people who made Project Rio, which is basically a mod of the Dolphin emulator that you can run any GameCube game. And Dolphin has a netplay option. But if you just go straight into Dolphin netplay and try to play Mario Baseball, it's going to be super laggy. And the modded version, Project Rio, kind of fixes that by doing this thing called golf mode so that the person who's hitting has a much better instant connection. They're kind of running the game and the other person has bigger lag because they're pitching and they can kind of just pre-put inputs. But like, imagine if they didn't have that modding community. I guarantee Mario Baseball scene would be much smaller. And so that's all to say, like, it begs the question of like, what games are there out there that just need that good little infusion of like a particularly techie team of people, you know?
My vote, yeah,
like Melee survived because there was a hardcore group of people organizing tournaments. And like, they were, you know, there's even like a panel where Robin Harn, who's the organizer of Big House, it's like probably the biggest, well, it's definitely the biggest standalone Melee tournament. like, you know, he talks about the melee, like the dark days, you know, when they legitimately thought like, man, like there's soon there's just not going to be anybody to come, you know, and look at it now. I mean, 1,000 people at a tournament's really not even that big anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's awesome, though, that old games get to have such life. But it's also just kind of the unfortunate thing of so many games have come out in our lives. And there's so many more obscure games that we never even gave the time of day, that didn't get the time of day and are shelved somewhere. But, you know, but that's what also you love at the same time, is you find those random games that you love and you really appreciate and you just develop such fond memories of, you know, and that'll always stick with you. You know, if I think that what's cool about that and where video games could go is you get to see a lot of stuff that kind of, I don't know if spiritual successors, you get to see a lot of that, but some game developers today have had so many games to kind of see and play. I think it's nice that some of your favorite elements might trickle into a next game or a game that might have similar elements, but it's so hard to recreate the magic of some of these older games, especially because of the nostalgia lens that you have on them. But it's like me and Army Men, those games aren't good to play now. Those games are incredibly frustrating, but it's like, man, that's such a cool fucking thing. It's like, yeah. I haven't, it's like they did a Toy Soldiers game where they kind of took that idea, but they changed the whole gameplay and the idea of it. And I played it and I was like, it's cool, but it's not the same. It's not giving me the same type of thing, but I don't know. It is just a bummer when you want to go back and play. It's great when it's like, oh, that first player, that single player game that I can go back and play anytime I want, versus, you know, those online games. You know, Chrome Hounds, for example. You ain't going to go find anybody running around in Chrome Hounds.
Yeah.
Right. No, you know, way. Right now.
And those servers been all those games. For a while.
You know, all those servers that get shut down, which is a bummer, but it does inspire people to do cool things. Because I bet you, if you look hard enough, at least, and what's nice about Reddit, honestly, is a lot of people posting like, hey, I want to play. Even if it's not, you know, they might be kind of, it might only be a few people and they know that they're throwing out a thing to the wind, but all it takes is for that first couple of people to start saying yes. And then, you know, who knows what type of new life can be breathed into any video games. You guys have any other ones, any quick honorable mentions to give here before we close up shop?
I do, but I actually, you know, the more we talk about like truly obscure video games, I really don't think this should count, but I just would like to say KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic. And like, especially since Paul kind of mentioned before we even started that I think he knew that I was going to say this one. You know, it's getting a remaster. At least they say it's getting a remaster. It's
weird. That one, that's a weird, I don't know what is going on with that.
They said it like 3 years ago. I mean, it's been a long time. I think that there's just so much other Star Wars shit being developed, but Knights of the Old Republic is an amazing game. I just recently, when COVID hit, actually, like in 2020, whatever that was, seems like 5 years.
Whatever that thing was that happened.
But I had downloaded Knights of the Old Republic 2 because I had never actually played the other one all the way through. I was like a kid and we'd got it. And you remember when you could mod the original Xbox and you would download all of the games onto the Xbox, and so you'd open it up and there's like a menu and you'd scroll down and you had all the games loaded on it. I had Knights of the Old Republic 2, but somehow it gotten glitched so you couldn't get through the first level, or maybe I was just 12 and an idiot, I don't know. One or the other, I couldn't get through the first level, and so I just stopped playing it and I played something else. But I recently went back and played through the second one. It's they kind of recycled the story of the first one. It's still really fun, but I think I prefer the story of the first one and honestly the gameplay even. Like, it's really, really similar gameplay, but the first one's just so, so tight. I would absolutely eat up a remaster. Probably update the combat a little bit too, because it's very just like, it's so funny. You just get like 8 little options at the bottom of your screen, and every time you click it, even in combat, it makes the same bleep bleep sound when you click it. And so you just say attack, and your guy just runs, and he like, it's the animation's so bad, but it's such a good game. Like when he runs, he does this like run thing. I know audio listeners can't, you know, they can't see me right now, but he swings his arms in big motions, and he like takes these big high knee run, like running stance, and he just goes nowhere. He's just still walking speed, but it's only when you click to attack something. He's like, it's so bad, but it's so fun.
So one of my other honorable mentions, which was the one I talked about, I don't know if it was before the podcast started, but one that I thought about that I don't think counts as obscure, but I don't know, it's a little bit obscure. Did you guys play Spy Hunter? I had that on GameCube.
Spy Hunter has a history in the arcade, but I would still call it obscure, because I don't know if it's necessarily popular, but I do remember it has a really cool theme song, doesn't it? It's like... and then kind of like builds up like something, and you're a car, right? And you're just basically driving on a thing, and you get, and you're like pulling the back of a truck, and they give you like a power up and stuff.
Well, and the car could turn into like, it turned into like a boat, and it turned into like a motorcycle or something weird. Like it could do all these like different things. But yeah, you always finish the mission. You like drive into the back of like a truck trailer, and it closes and drives away. It's like really cool. But I played the crap out of that as a kid.
Oh, I played that.
Yeah, it's like a gray car. That.
Yeah.
It had like guns on it.
I love that game.
Dude, and like helicopters would chase you and drop like missiles, and you're like all these bombs hitting around you. It was awesome.
Totally, man. It's a great one. My last one would be it's one of my favorite games just because I love this idea of just like just this rebel guy. I love the idea of America getting invaded, honestly, and like people stepping up and like guerrilla warfare to fight their way through this. And it's this game called Freedom Fighters, and you're a plumber from New York that basically takes on the entire Soviet invasion and gets this nickname, the Freedom Phantom. And you go from plumber to just this dope freedom fighter dude that just builds this whole legacy of going through New York and all this guerrilla warfare. You're using the sewers, and like you have to, what's cool is like every, you would have different like levels, quote unquote, I guess like stages. And then in the stages, there'd be like three levels. But if you didn't do things in a certain order, the other things, like this one mission might have a helipad. And if you don't blow up the helipad in that mission and you try to do this other mission, a helicopter is going to be flying around and it's just going to be messing you up and shooting you anytime you're out in the open. So you kind of had a choice of how you wanted to attack each stage and kind of do these things to free New York. And it just leads, and you start off and no one's like, you're just this nobody, and you can get like a couple people to follow you. But then the last mission, you literally have like 16 freedom fighters following you, and you're taking on this big fort, and it's just all these ragtag people, and the music in that game is so good. I try to play that game like once a year, once every couple years, because again, not the one that ages the most in controls, but yeah, give me a, I bet you if I find it on PC and I could use my mouse to control and shoot, it would be way better than trying to play it back on the PC. But I own, I think, like multiple copies of that game because of just, I bought it on Xbox and then my brother gave me the GameCube stuff, so I've just ended up with, I think I have two copies of Freedom Fighters. And yeah, just because it's sick, the Soviets invade America and they're taken over, but this plumber led by, it helps lead this resistance force that takes down this whole entire, you know, it takes down the Soviet, and you're like, you assassinate like a big time general. And as the game goes on, it gets deeper into winter and colder because it starts in the summer, and then it kind of progresses throughout like the invasion in the year. And then at the end, you're just covered in this sick like snow suit, and you're just running around fighting, you know, you're in Russian bases at that point, just fucking shit up. And it's so fun.
Well, you heard it here first, everyone. Paul loves the idea of America getting invaded.
Yeah. Goddamn commie.
It's because, you know, it's like the Red Dawn fascinates me. Like all those, like the idea of like what would happen in that situation.
Red Dawn? How about the remake with Josh Peck?
I didn't see the remake with Josh Peck, actually.
With Josh Peck?
Yeah, it's got Josh Peck, and it's like early into, what's his name, Chris Hemsworth? Thor?
Mm. Yeah.
Early into his career.
Mr. Such in the live chat says, I really like that guy in the top right and the guy in the top left and bottom. Top left guy is my favorite Mario baseball streamer. Shout out to Mr. Such. We're going to wind things down for the Chat Pack podcast today, where we talk about obscure video games. We had a lot of great ones. No surprise, Trevor's was a mech-based car thing of online combat. No surprise, mine was obscure N64 titles. And, of course, Caleb had to sneak in his Star Wars reference.
Also, well, I'd like to just say, it's not that obscure, but Republic Commando. holy shit, is that a fun game?
Commando is more obscure than KOTAR. I would say KOTAR is a bigger and more popular game.
Maybe it's just because it was so prominent in my childhood. Dude, Republic Commando is like a gritty Star Wars clone trooper game where you play as like a four squad of elite and you're like the leader of this elite group. And dude, it's so sick, actually. Like, it's gritty as shit. And like, I'll just say this one last thing. I'm geeking out about it. But you fucking melee, and when you melee, your guy punches, and then he like brings his fist up like this, and you see that when he punches, a blade comes out, and so it's like, and then he brings it up, and then the blade goes down in. And like when you do that, like when you do the stab, guts will fly all over your screen if you hit somebody, and then like the little electro, like, I don't know, visor wiper. Yeah, the little wiper comes across and like cleans all the guts off, because you're always fighting. I feel like mostly you're fighting Geonosians and droids, and the droids will like they. I guess it's like oil or something like
it's
that.
It's
like,
always oil.
It's droid fluid.
That's how they got away with blood when we were growing up in video games and cartoons. I just make up robots and then have all the blood. I just love watching old Samurai Jack, and it's just like, you know, they wanted to have that shit be blood, but they're like, nah, just make him a robot so that the oil just goes and just.
Me and my brother were talking about the new Star Wars movies, and just kind of we're not going to dive down that hole, Paul, I promise. But I was saying how cool would it have been if in addition, whatever, they made a movie or they made a series that was like the Republic Commando. Like, that could be sick, dude. A four squad of elite storm or clone troopers.
They did do something. I don't know if it's Republic Commando, but I think it's the idea of a mercenary band of clones in that Clone Wars show that they've been doing, and I think brought back on Disney Plus. You might want to search around on Disney Plus, because I think there is a like mercenary ragtag band of clone troopers. Right. It's animated. Yeah, it's not. I know you might have been asking live action, but just if it might scratch.
Definitely talking about live action.
Yeah. But, it might help scratch the itch a little bit where they, because it sounds like what's nice.
Well, they did it kind of like Dark Knight like esque, where it's just like, yeah, it's like most of Disney Star Wars stuff is like Disney Star Wars, you know. But I'm talking like kind of dark, you know, yeah. Like fucking, you know, sure, get Christopher Nolan on it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Disney could get Nolan. Why not?
Paul, were you thinking of the Bad Batch?
Yes, thank you. That's what I was. That's what I was talking about. The match. That's. I haven't watched. I've been meaning to watch that, because I've heard like you don't have to watch all of the Clone Wars, but there's some really good like arcs and series to go in and watch. So I might.
Clone Wars is very well received.
Yeah, people love that show, and it was one of those where I was like, that art style I don't necessarily love.
That's the thing. That's why I haven't watched it.
But it's like that's not a reason to not like it. But it is on that like for I do remember when the trailers for it came out, and I was just like, wasn't doing it for me. But there's probably I'm gonna think of probably so many more obscure games after this, and I'm sure I could keep bringing them up. A couple of ones I remember are there was a Captain Crunch game I played on Crunchberry game online that I played. All those old Cartoon Network Flash games were really fun, same with the Nickelodeon ones. Line Rider, a classic. Interactive Buddy, I don't know if that was as big for you guys as was for us.
Never heard of it.
Games. But anyway, this has been the Chat Pack Podcast, your home for this, that, and the other thing. You can find this podcast on your favorite streaming services, on our YouTube channel at Chat Pack, or streamed live when we record it at twitch.tv/chat_pack. We're live Tuesdays and Thursdays for Mario Superstar Baseball stream starting at 5 p.m. Eastern. This Monday, I am going live at 3 p.m. Eastern and going until I can't go no more. And we are featuring a online Mario Superstar Baseball bracket with $25 of my own money on the line as 12 of Mario Superstar Baseball net plays best take the field for what should be great. The opening four games, two of them will be streamed here on Chat Pack. The other two will be streamed on Dinger City. They're going to help us out and help spread the word a little bit and help move the bracket along, so we're not sitting there and waiting for a million games to happen for Mario Baseball.
And then the final top eight will start
At 7 o'clock Eastern time here on twitch.tv/chat_pack. till up until this point, this is the largest prize pool in online Mario Superstar Baseball history. That will change with the Dinger City Invitational, but you know, lunch. I like my tagline here of lunch is on the line on Monday, as $25 my own money on the line. But seriously, some of the best net. We have NetPlay Superstar Champions. We got some Dinger City friends coming, and some people from all walks of the Mario Baseball community. It's gonna be a ton of fun. But we're also gonna be streaming some Halo, some Dead Rising, all sorts of stuff on Monday, because I want you to follow us here at Chat Pack and help us grow this thing, as well as a couple of other projects that we are involved in and do all sorts of cool stuff. So we are asking for your support on Monday and whenever you can on this podcast here on your favorite streaming service or on YouTube. Before we go, it's Caleb's recommendation. Caleb's recommendation. It's the part of the show where Caleb recommends something for us here. Caleb, what is your recommendation today?
Paul, I just want to quick, before I even really give my recommendation, I love that you've remembered this every single time without fail. I can't even believe it. I'm going to give the recommendation. I actually made a list, so I'm going to move down it slowly. But the first one, I'm going to call Horticultural Lighting Group out for their amazing customer service and their amazing product. If you grow any type of plants, they're generally made for cannabis, right? It doesn't matter if you're growing cannabis. It doesn't matter if you're growing, if you want to have a little spice and herb tent in your house, go to horticulturallightinggroup.com. I'm pretty sure you can just type in hlg.com. They've got some amazing lights. They can be a little pricey, but you drop $100, I mean, across years, you could be spending hundreds of dollars on spices and herbs. You know, you put one of those tents or lights in your tent, basically heats the tent up too, you're set.
Horticultural Lighting Group. Did I get that?
Yeah, hlg.com, baby.
There you go. We're not sponsored by them yet. And of course, our last thing, Trevor's closing thoughts for us on the podcast. Trevor, what do the people need to leave the podcast thinking about?
What do they need to know? I think my closing thoughts this time around is some of these obscure video games we talked about, we should see if we could stream some of them. I feel like it'd be kind of fun to pull up some of these, like,
bring them to the big screen.
Army Men ones and different ones we talked about. So see if we can find some.
Let's get Army Man Air Attack and let's just get the soundbite of Huey.
Canuck. I easily could put that on my thing.
Get that shit on your soundboard.
Actually, that's a great idea. I'm
Canuck.
One episode, we might just have to call it the sounds episode, where we're just going to brainstorm all these great episode sounds that I can put on my thing so I can play them on streams. But we're streaming a lot more now, folks. If you love video game streams, do come find us. We're having tons of fun on Tuesday night and Thursday night baseball. And usually we try to record on Wednesdays, and I think the idea will be after the pod, we might stream whatever we feel like streaming, because the three of us all have Halo now too, which will be, and we had a ton of fun. Not when we were going to record on Wednesday and things came up, we had a ton of fun playing Halo instead of doing the podcast that day. But please join us for the podcast next time. Please join us on twitch.tv/chat_pack or on our YouTube page. And for Trevor Hyman, Caleb Cole, blah, 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 this is Paul Holden saying so long for the Chat Pack podcast. Catch you on the flippity.